Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check, 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 check. Happy Monday out there, everybody. April 27th, 2020. A Monday. And hopefully it's at least sunny where you are. It's not where I am in Philadelphia. It's another gray, wet, damp. Pretty chilly so far in this so-called spring. Anyway. Crazy news over the weekend too, right? It never stops. It's like one thing after another. Hope everybody had a good weekend. It's going to be a busy news week from what I'm hearing from a lot of different folks. We'll get into that right now. But I posted something, I think it was on Saturday. What's all these stories in the last week about how the FBI plotted against General Mike Flynn and all this stuff, and oh, it's like a conspiracy. And there's been a lot more stories about that recently. And somebody pointed out to me, it was Maria or somebody else pointed out to me. It was Maria. I guess True Pundit had this like a long time ago. So I went back and looked and I did the math and we were the first to break it. The fuck Flynn, then we fuck Trump quote story from McCabe. So I did a tweet. It said on Saturday, I actually did a story, but the headline says, suddenly the media realizes the FBI plotted to, quote, fuck Flynn. True Pundit told you that 1,145 days ago. So that would be 1,147 days ago now. And if you're counting or you're like a math whiz, that's 3.1 years. Yeah, years. Where in the hell was everybody in the media 3.1 years ago? They were asleep or riding the fence when we were saying this stuff was going on. And now there's suddenly a rash of breaking news that the FBI did this to Flynn and did that to Flynn. And it's really frustrating as a reporter and somebody in the media to see that these people are 3.1 years behind. Now, there's been some good reporting on it, but we never get credited. And working on that. We got some legal stuff going on behind the scenes, and maybe we'll talk about it another time to try to remedy that with some of these people. But then today, I saw that Maria Bartiromo tweeted that Flynn will be exonerated this week based on her sources. And so I went back and I looked at our Flynn will be pardoned story. And that was 852 days ago. So I tweeted at Maria, we had this 852 days ago. Where were you at? Now we'll see if that's true or not. I called some well-placed folks after I saw that tweet Sunday night. And they said, look, we don't know anything about it. We haven't heard anything about it. And there are people that would know something about it. So there might be something going on. I heard there's something under seal in court. So we'll see if that comes out this week. And if it's true, I mean, some people are like, what's your problem with Maria Bartiromo? You have a problem with everybody. Well, I don't really have a problem with her, but where were these people 1,147 days ago and 853 days ago when we were reporting this stuff, you know, coming out of the White House that he would definitely be pardoned from what they were saying? And that's 3 years. That's like almost 3 years. This one is 3.1 years. And I don't really trust Maria Bartiromo that much, being that I was at Citigroup in 2007. Not in the media at the time. And you should Google her name and Citigroup and see what comes up. And we'll leave it at that. And then you'll understand where I'm coming from on that. And I'm not saying anything else. But let's just say it makes for some interesting reading. And being inside of the bank at that time in a pretty good upward position, at I'll just shut up. Okay, next headline. Oh, hey, we're doing this again on patreon.com/truepundit, the video podcast. And it seems to be going pretty well. So we're gonna do it again, rolled out this week again, and see how it goes. So if you want to see a video of this, all my friends on patreon.com/truepundit, I salute you. Thank you for your support. And I talk to the camera half the time, and sometimes I make stupid faces, or or you could just see how insane I get on some things. So people seem to like it very much, and we appreciate it. So we'll keep doing it. And patreon.com/truepundit, that's how you can support us as well. We're getting some support on there, which is nice. Especially, I know it's difficult this time with the finances and everything, so it means that much more to me. It allows us to do some of the things that we're doing here that obviously we would not be able to do if there wasn't some external support, because ads just simply don't cut it in this business, unless you're one of the beautiful people and you can get BMW ads and Coca-Cola. You can lie to people through the teeth in the New York Times and Washington Post, but you get great fucking ads. They don't care that you're a liar. They have no problem. I guess they don't believe that honest people want to buy cars and have nice things. Only dummies who listen to liars. So that's a whole nother rant for another day. Headline. This is a gas, a real gas. Fewer than half of U.S. workers will have a wage in May, economists say. Losses in April alone could push the unemployment rate to 16%, according to James Knightley, chief international economist at ING. If another 10 million Americans filed jobless claims in May, that would push the unemployment rate to 22%. You can bet your rear end that that's going to happen. Thankfully, this is below the 24.9 peak experienced in 1933, but we have to remember that one-third of Americans aged 18 to 65 are not classified as employed or unemployed. They are students, early retirement, homemakers, careers, or sick, Knightley wrote in a Thursday note. This leads us to yet another sobering statistic, that less than half of the working age Americans will be earning a wage next month. I don't really think that the 24.9 peak experience in 1933 is applicable here, in my opinion. It's apples and oranges, this economy compared to 1933. it's a lot bigger machine right now. And what's happening now, we're only beginning to feel the effects of job losses to the broader economy could be devastating, as consumer spending makes up 70% of U.S. gross domestic product, which is set to fall as much as 40% in the second quarter. We are in the second quarter for folks that are paying attention. Including Thursday's losses, 1 in 7 American workers has applied for unemployment insurance in the past 5 weeks. And that number is going to go up. You can guarantee you that. So it's more bad news, folks. But we have to keep it real, right? We can't live in the fantasy land and pretend like these things are not happening. Let me move this thing over here. I got problems reading again. You can major in English and journalism in school and whatever that other major I had, anthropology. but you still can't read off of a piece of paper. Good thing my student loans are paid. They double the interest rate right now. They found out that I was having problems reading. Headline. New York required nursing homes to admit medically stable coronavirus patients. The results were deadly. Well, that's nice. You got loved ones or family in a nursing home, and they let patients in with coronavirus. What specifically is wrong with New York and California? I mean, what is going on? Why are these places have become such shitholes? I don't get it. It's I mean, I understand why it has happened, but why have the people allowed it to happen? They're good people in both states. I said it before. We have more readers in California than we have anywhere else on True Pundit. People may not realize that. There are a lot of good folks in California and New York who are conservative or moderate Democrats, and they're not happy with what's going on. I mean, how did it get this bad? You have to wonder. I know they're wondering because I've had conversations with a lot of them. On March 25th, New York's health department issued a mandate that state nursing homes could not refuse COVID-19 positive patients who were, quote, medically stable, unquote, meaning facilities that house the most vulnerable populations were forced to introduce the virus into their midst. These guys, how many lawsuits are going to come from this? This people are... A nursing home in Queens received two coronavirus patients who had been discharged from a hospital but were still contagious and in need of care, along with a box containing body bags. The New York Post reported. Well, who knows if that's true? Those fucking liars at the Post. An executive at the facility told the Post that it had been free of the coronavirus prior to accepting those two patients. The executive also said that along with two patients arrived a shipment of personal protective equipment and body bags. It's nice that they're sending supplies with the people that are eventually going to die or infect others. But again, it's coming from the New York Post, which is about as accurate as the Daily Growl. Everybody remember the Daily Growl? That was the name of the dog newspaper. You would buy the rubber newspaper for the dog. We used to make jokes back in the day and say, one more story like that, you'd say, guys, you're working with the paper. One more story like that, Williams, and you're going to be working at the Daily Growl. Three of the bags were filled with the first of 30 residents who would die there. Post reported the nursing facility continued to receive shipments of five body bags per week since those first two patients arrived and they were needed. Cuomo has blood on his hands. He really does. There's no way to sugarcoat this, a nursing home executive told the outlet. Of course, unnamed nursing home executives. You know, you don't know what's going on in New York. I think half the shit's a play there. You know? I mean, you have to look at who's in charge of these places. Cuomo, de Blasio. These guys are career liars. Why would you believe anything they say at all? I don't. I'm not taking away from what's going on in New York and that there's a problem, but I don't believe anything that the elected officials there say. And that's called a credibility problem. There could be a problem. That could be the truth. But if you don't believe your caretakers, the people that you've elected to office, if you don't believe them, that's just the way it is. It's a credibility issue. Yeah, this is interesting. Headline, ER doctors urge a reopening. A lockdown creating a public health crisis. Doctors pressured to add COVID to death reports. Quarantining healthy, never seen before. These guys, California emergency room doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi of Accelerated Urgent Care told reporters that nationwide lockdown policies are not an appropriate reaction to what current data shows about the China-originated novel coronavirus, but are instead causing measurable public health issues like spikes in domestic violence, sexual abuse, depression, and spreading fear to non-COVID-19 related would-be patients that are skipping out of vital health care. Thank you. Finally, somebody saying this, the same stuff that we've been saying, and people have been telling us behind the scenes, both medical people and regular folks like you. These guys did a video press conference, and the reporters became pretty rabid, firing just, you know, your basic stupid questions at them from the talking points of the mainstream media, and these guys manhandled these reporters. It was embarrassing. And the reason they did that is because they were talking about science. They had the science behind them, the data, the science, not just pie-in-the-sky bullshit that you hear from Fauci and Birx and Redfield from the CDC and this parade of corrupt dopes that come and go from the White House podium on a regular basis. These guys actually had facts. Reporters who are on the bag for an ideology hate facts. It's like kryptonite. Erickson noted that quarantining the healthy is like nothing he's seen before. Quote, we decided to keep people at home and isolate them, even though everything we've studied about quarantine, typically you quarantine the sick. We've heard that before. Quote, when I talk to ER physicians around the country, what's happening? Well, because COVID has become the focus, people with heart disease, people with cancer, hypertension, and various things that are critical are choosing not to come in based on fear. So what's that doing is forcing the healthcare system to focus on COVID and not focus on a myriad of other things that are critical because we don't have the staff there. And the major complaint is fear. Well, these guys are fear brokers. That's what they sell. That's what the government sells. Nobody does it better, baby, around the world. America is fantastic at two things globally. And they probably get mad at me for saying this, but on my experience, spreading fear, and we are the best at killing other people. We're the best. There's a reason other countries do not like us. And so you need to step outside of whatever your geopolitical views are, if they're somewhat limited, and become educated. We are Murder Incorporated, man. I'm not saying we as like citizens, but our government really puts the wood to people. Just turns governments upside down and fear. Okay. They're professional fear brokers all the way from the Department of Justice. And now you're seeing it through the White House with these idiots that they have on TV, these medical government medical career corruptocrats. So you're getting a real taste here from these doctors who are finally spelling it out. So let's see what he says about California. We have 39.5 million people. If we just take a basic calculation and extrapolate that out, that equates to about 4.7 million cases throughout the state of California, coronavirus, which means this thing is widespread. That's the good news. We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California with a possible prevalence of 4.7 million. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California. That's not a lot. So 97% basically of people in California who get COVID recover. That's what we've been saying. The more tests they do, the lower that death rate is going to go. Don't forget the Redfield at the CDC screwed up all the national testing. And we didn't have the testing up front. because they screwed up the test kits. These are the guys I'm talking about. These guys are idiots. Here's one. Renowned microbiologist claims Wuhan lab did absolutely crazy things with coronavirus. Okay, that's coming out of Russia. I don't want to read that. Russia and the Chinese are buddies. So you have to be careful. It's like when the French intelligence folks defend Iran. You're like, oh, here we go. French intel and Iran are buddies. Russia and China are buddies. So you be careful. Normally, if you read something from those places about each other, it's usually fairly rigged. Pennsylvania removes 200 deaths from the state coronavirus count. Where are we at? 20 minutes? 21 minutes. As questions mount about reporting process, Pennsylvania has corrected its coronavirus data multiple times over the past week to account for irregularities, according to new reports. This Governor Wolf is a fucking dope. Remember Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf? Teen Wolf had more qualifications when he was riding and surfing on top of the truck than this dope does running the state house. He's going to bankrupt this. I talked to a really well-placed guy in PA today that I went to school with. And I can't mention his name because he'll probably be cyber-stalked by the freaks in Harrisburg. But he said Wolf is going to bankrupt the state. He's so feckless. And he's gotten into this pact with these dopes in Jersey, Connecticut, and New York. And instead of, he's put Pennsylvania on the timeline with these idiots, these tyrants, Murphy, Cuomo. And I don't even know the dope who runs Connecticut, but instead of aligning the state with Ohio, GOP governors like in Ohio and West Virginia, he's gone with these because, of course, Wolf is a stupid fool and a Democrat and a crazed lib. So he's going to align himself with these other crazy tyrants in Pennsylvania. By the time he comes back to work, we're on the schedule of these fools, Cuomo and Murphy. I mean, it's insane. These guys are crazy. Okay. He's going to bankrupt the state. That's basically what I was hearing today. So if you live in Pennsylvania and you're listening to this, take heed. That comes from the top. Really well-placed guys in Pennsylvania in the state house. Really well-placed guys. Rainmakers. Power brokers. As a result, the total number of coronavirus deaths grew by 276, then 360 in successive nights, almost doubling the number of deaths in the state in 2 days. The Pennsylvania Department of Health subsequently removed 200 deaths from its count after facing mounting questions about the accuracy of the count. I mean, they can't even count right. They need the guy from Sesame Street. Remember that guy? The count? One. Two, three, they need him in the state house. Get the count. Somebody get the count's cape. Let's go. Get the Muppet in the car. Get him to Harrisburg. He can help this dope Wolf out. Teen Wolf. Wolf's going to have the varsity fucking jacket on, and he's going to be dribbling the basketball like Michael J. Fox in the state championships before this is over. Stanford doctor, new headline, Stanford doctor explains why coronavirus lockdown policies need to end. Ignore the panic and rely on facts. Oh, yeah, by the way, you can get all these news articles in full on the story on True Pundit that is going to say pain in the morning, April 27th, 2020, Monday, floating around. Usually on the front page or whatever, or you can search for it. Stanford doctor explains why coronavirus lockdown policies need to end. Ignore the panic and rely on facts. In an op-ed published in The Hill, Dr. Scott Atlas laid out some key facts he believes policymakers are ignoring about the pandemic and called for leaders to, quote, ignore the panic when making decisions. Atlas wrote that because the overall mortality rate is increasingly looking to be 0.1% to 0.5% based on antibody studies, and because that mortality rate is even lower among healthy adults under the age of 50, it makes no sense to continue requiring all the population to isolate when such a small percentage of people are in real danger from COVID-19. Quote, in fact, infected people without severe illness are immediately available vehicle for establishing widespread immunity, Atlas wrote. By transmitting the virus to others in the low-risk group who then generate antibodies, they block the network of pathways toward the most vulnerable people, ultimately ending the threat. Extending whole population isolation would directly prevent that widespread immunity from developing. Why isn't this guy and the other guy saying this at the White House press briefings? What is going on? We've said for weeks, get the real doctors in there and tell the reporters to go fucking pound sand. Get the doctors in there, the real doctors on the ground. Excuse me, to fire questions at Fauci and Burks, you know, like softballs at a carnival, trying to knock over ceramic bottles. Pepper these fools with legitimate questions like this. They'd be up there like, Instead, they're taking questions from literally morons in the media, okay? People who their days really rotate around, where are we drinking lunch at and where are we drinking dinner at? I got to get my drink on because my life is so shitty and I've sold my soul to the fucking devil. I want to get blasted again. So when are we going out? Where are we going? Get us a reservation. You have a reservation? I want it. It's almost like American Psycho. You have a reservation? Why? You want to go? No, I just want to have a reservation. I feel better with a reservation. These reporters are completely morally bankrupt and bird brains. You can't drink that much alcohol and snort that much blow and whatever else they're doing and have a functioning brain chemistry long term. I work with these people. They're complete degenerates, believe me. On their fourth marriages, you know, it's like, get the fuck out of here. You guys are subhumans. Okay. But besides that, they're great people. Here we go again. Where are we at? 28 minutes. Grocers hunt for meat as coronavirus hobbles beef and pork plants. We talked about this. Last week, U.S. beef production fell 24% compared with a month earlier, with pork off 25% and poultry down 10%, according to estimates from CoBank, agricultural lender. Some meat orders are arriving incomplete as suppliers pull back on a variety and meat plants remain closed. Grocery executives are saying this. Ground beef supplies are declining. This is bad. I told you guys. I even tweeted today. Get your ass out and buy some beef. Ground beef supplies are declining, a regional grocery executive said, and wholesale prices are creeping up after a fall that occurred when closed dining rooms clipped restaurant demand. Meat inventories are likely to become tight within a week or two because of the recent processing plant closures and temporary shortages are possible, said Pat LaFrieda, chief executive of his namesake meat wholesaler based in New Jersey. I know where these guys are at, actually. The company typically supplies food to Shake Shack and other restaurants, but now is selling most of its inventory to grocers. We haven't seen a situation in our lifetime where the industry has contracted as quickly as we have seen in the past month, said Will Sawyer, a CoBank economist who researches meat production. I got a buddy down the beach who works for CoBank as well. Pretty good surfer in Jersey. Believe it or not, there's good surfing in Jersey. You just have to know where to go. Sales of vacuum sealed bags are also rising at Walmart. Assigned shoppers are buying food they intend to preserve. Actually, Amazon sold out of a lot of those bags, I'm told. And Walmart's been like a last bastion for people who want vacuum sealed bags. Todd Allen, director of the meat and seafood at Raley's grocery chain in West Sacramento, said the company is receiving about 80% of its chicken orders, while its meat sales have increased about 67% since March. It's paying higher wholesale prices for the products, though, including 30% more for beef shoulders and around 80% higher for inside leg parts. You think that's bad? Wait a couple weeks. You want to get a steak? Going to be paying 40%, 50% more if you can find one. A few plants, we talked about this last week. A few closed plants reopened this week. Cargill's Hazleton, PA plant closed on April 7th after nearly a number of COVID-19 cases spiked. Over the past 2 weeks, the company installed plastic PVC sheeting between stations on the processing line. Set up plans to check employees' temperatures in the middle of shifts and laid out one-way entrances and exits for cars and workers. So that's one plant that reopened, but how many have closed? 10? It's not good. You can expect I like how these industry economists, they say you can expect contraction. It's like, you know, you're going in the delivery room with your wife. How are the contractions? How far apart are the contractions? They're very, very, you know, professional about it. Out here on the street, we call this a fucking food scare or food shortage. Contractions sound so much better than food shortage, food scare, food run, you know? I hope people are getting it through. You know, understanding that this is ramping up. And what's that thing? I was talking to Jason Goodman about it, and some other people. An old saying that America is always 9 meals away from a revolution. If you miss 3 meals of food, you know, three meals a day for 3 days, if you run out of food, then you're going to see some problems. So not saying that's going to happen, but they're not doing themselves any favors. And, you know, where's the government stepping in and helping out here? Who gives two flying fucks about Wall Street, right? When you're chewing on cardboard for dinner. Jesus Christ. Wall Street, millions here, trillions there, trillions here, trillions there from the Fed and from being backstopped by stimulus. What about the farmers here? And what about these places like that raise chicken, hogs, and beef? I told you last week they're going to destroy these animals. And that's what's going to happen. And it's already happening. Don't kid yourself. We talked about the 61,000 chickens who got whacked. And now I read over the weekend that pigs are getting whacked. We said on Friday and Thursday that would probably happen. And it's happening now. It's happening over the weekend. And steer as well. It's bad news, guys. This is not good stuff, obviously. And it goes on and on and on. And the chain of events here that's gonna hurt our food chain for a long time to come. This is not going to be remedied anytime soon when you start killing off livestock. These hogs and steer and other things don't grow on trees. Headline, exposing Harvard's Chinese agent Charles Lieber's virus transmitters. This guy's a real nut. Where are we at? 34 minutes. Let's see how much we got left. All right, let's get this one out of here. Dr. Charles Lieber is a nanoscientist at Harvard University. He was recently charged by the FBI or DOJ secretly being a Chinese agent. However, there is a mystery surrounding the nature of his work. I'd say so. since the FBI and the DOJ tell you jack shit about it. It is said he was recruited for advanced research into nanowire batteries, but investigation by Great Game India has shown that Lieber was in fact working on virus transmitters that could penetrate cell membranes without affecting the intercellular functions and even measure activities inside heart cells and muscle fibers. He was arrested by the U.S. Department of Defense in January, but he's picked up by the FBI for lying about his associations with China's Thousand Talent Program. Very interesting. We probably will be tackling the Thousand Talent Program on Wednesday's podcast. We'll go back to the regular scheduled big podcast on Wednesday. We moved it up last week, Tuesday, to scoop everybody in the media on Dr. Judy Mikovits. So, and we did that. And we had fun rubbing everybody's face in it. But more importantly, getting her message out. But it's always great when you beat everybody to the punch. And she's been making the rounds since then. But it was nice to have exclusive. So we'll be talking about the Thousand Talent Program. Wait till you hear about this. It was basically a recruitment plan which seeks to lure Chinese overseas talent and foreign experts to bring their knowledge experience to China. They used to call that stealing proprietary information, but they came up with a fancy name, China's Thousand Talent Program. According to Lieber's charging documents, who wrote this? Charging documents. Are the documents coming at the motherfucker? Are they charging him literally? Excuse my language. How about according to the indictment? This must have been written out of the country or by some dope. According to the indictment, I'm changing it around on the fly. According to the indictment, Lieber was a participant of a program and was paid $50,000 a month, along with $158,000 in living expenses and $1.74 million to set up a research lab at Wuhan. Yeah, whatever amounts they're saying, triple that, or even more, because they never put their actual amounts into the original paper. It always ends up being way more and way worse, especially when you're dealing with people selling state secrets and the country secrets. They always downplay it publicly because, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Let me tell you something. It always ends up being far worse than the numbers they say. So I always say double or triple it, and then you get a better idea. This guy was making $1.74 million my ass. He's making a lot more money than that. Where are we at? Here's another one. Coronavirus forces farmers to destroy their crops. That's another story. Let's go back to this Lieber story, because this nanowire battery is a smokescreen. Federal indictment. I have to ad lib because I don't know who wrote this. A third grader or something. It's probably some prosecutor. The indictment states that Lieber signed an agreement between Harvard and Wuhan Institute of Technology. The purpose of the agreement was to, quote, carry out advanced research and development of nanowire-based lithium-ion batteries with high performance for electric vehicles. Yeah, right. However, things don't add up, since the focus of Lieber's research has never been about nanowire batteries. One nanoscientist and former student of Lieber says, "I have never seen Charlie working on batteries or nanowire batteries. In fact, all of his research papers and patents there, there's no mention of batteries or vehicles." Did you miss the best part? He signed an agreement between Harvard, okay, and the Wuhan Institute of Technology. Why hasn't Harvard been drugged through the media? Why hasn't the beautiful mainstream media put Harvard under the microscope for this? Because they're Harvard, right? They get away with all the people, all the beautiful people in the media. Go to Harvard, they go to Columbia. I work with these guys. They're fucking prima donnas, right? They won't report on the Ivies or the Ivories. There's a state university guys like at Rutgers and Penn State called it Ivories, the Ivory Towers, the Ivies. Lieber created a transistor so small it can be used to penetrate cell membranes and probe their interiors without affecting the intercellular functions. The biocompatible transistor, the size of a virus, can only measure activities inside a neuron, but also heart. Wait a minute. Let me go back. I screwed it up. Start the whole sentence over. Lieber created a transistor so small it can be used to penetrate cell membranes and probe their interiors without affecting the intercellular functions. The biocompatible transistor, the size of a virus, can not only measure activities inside a neuron, but also heart cells and muscle fibers. In 2017, Lieber and his team successfully created flexible 3D nanowires mesh that can inject into the brain or retina of an animal, attach itself to the neurons, and monitor electrical signals between the cells. What the hell is this guy doing? What was Harvard doing hooked up with China? We'll never know. You know why we'll never know? The fucking FBI is investigating. They will never rat out Harvard for anything. These guys get protected upside down and sideways, you know, because the people pulling the strings at the DOJ, right? Look at all the fancy people and the beautiful people that have gone to Harvard. The guy in the White House was at Harvard last round, Obama, and the list goes on and on and on. Harvard, Yale, these places, they run the show. Hillary Clinton, Yale, all these. It's like one after another. Can we get a president from fucking Rutgers or Ohio State, please? Somebody from the Big Ten or an independent school? I mean, no, we can't. Because it's rigged. One can see why Charles Lieber's secret association with the Chinese Institute and universities and his expertise in nanotechnology could pose a serious threat. You fucking think so? You think it could pose a serious threat? Maybe that's why the guy is under indictment. And there's going to be a lot more coming out about this guy and his involvement with the Thousand Talents Plan. And that plan's affiliation with the Wuhan Institute of Technology. Right? And two other words people haven't been saying that I'll say right now. We're going to get into as time goes on. Chinese biowarfare. Put that in your hat for a Monday. 43 minutes. Okay, we'll wrap it up here. Two words to end with. Chinese biowarfare. And Chinese biowarfare agent. It's all going to come out in due time. There's no rush. What's the rush? Why rush? We're all just sitting at home, just chilling out. Right? Why rush around? You get arrested if you go out there and rush around by these so-called police. That's another. Don't get me started on that. You know, to the cops out there, okay? You've had the support of the people for a long time. Even when you fucked up and shot people in the back by accident, we still had your back. I have to tell you, don't be fucking up out there and arresting innocent people for walking around on the beach and stuff, or you're going to lose that support fast. And the people that have had your back when you screw up, not going to have your back anymore. Right? You swear an oath to uphold the Constitution. That means to say, fuck you to your bosses if they go against that, right? There's a lot more of us out here than you. Keep that in mind. We'll leave it at that. And no one's more pro police officer than I've been since I launched True Pundit 4 years ago, okay? But don't be taking my civil rights away and civil rights of my family and friends away and think that you're going to get a free pass. This is America, okay? It's not going to be a free pass. Yeah, there's a little honeymoon period where you can get away with that because there's nobody out on the street. Keep that in mind. Support us on patreon.com/truepundit if you like what we're saying. And you're going to get the truth from me from here on in. I don't have time to fucking play games. So I like doing these daily newscasts. We'll have a good podcast coming again on Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things having to do with coronavirus and some of these characters that are linked to it. And there's not enough people out here, I've noticed, with enough guts to tell the truth and to say things like they are, because they're afraid they might lose their following, lose their base, hurt their platform. That's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous. There are bigger issues and bigger things than your platform. The number of your followers, the size of your base, right? If that's all you're about, you serve no purpose out here. You might as well be a Sears mannequin wearing a pair of tough skins. Go away. Stop fucking up the playing field for people that are trying to tell people the truth. And just like I said with the police, this isn't a game, man. This isn't a game out here. You start taking away people's civil liberties, there's going to be issues. It's not like a threat. It's U.S. history. It's world history. Go back to the 1968 Democratic Convention and watch the film on that. Google that on Twitter and see what happens when on YouTube. Put that into YouTube. See what happens when people get treated like cattle out in the street. Doesn't go very well. So this is human nature. Human nature. Again, if you want to throw us a bone at patreon.com/truepundit, that's great. We appreciate it. Until tomorrow, Tuesday, hang in there. Keep your chin up. God bless you.